in Revelation chapter 20, and if you will turn with me, verse 7 of chapter 20, and it says, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Now that, to me, is mind-boggling, as David said this evening. You know, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has victory over, after the, you know, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, he sets up his kingdom, he rules with a rod of iron, and still after that, end of that 1,000 years, there is still a deceiving of as many as the sand of the sea. Can you imagine that? We can't, okay? And I praise God, let me tell you something right now, I'll say it up front now. I praise God and I thank the Lord that I will not be there at that time. So I'm not going to be deceived, okay? I will be eternally in heaven. That's what I'll be. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, guys. Wonderful. "And they went up," verse 9, "on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Verse 10. "And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night," well long, "forever and" what? "Ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Father, we thank you this evening for this time we could spend together in your word and come to understand a little bit more and better, and that we can even consider your word. Lord, your word declares, as we consider your word, you'll give us the understanding in all things. So we thank you for this opportunity of opening your word and studying it this evening. In Christ's name we pray this with thanksgiving. Amen. Now my job and my task that was given to me is to speak to you about the great white throne and the lake of fire. A subject, as Brian said this evening, that is not a subject that many people want to hear today. And I have first-hand experience of that. In this subject, what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to jump around a little bit between verses, but it all will come together eventually. You'll see that will come together. But I'm going to explain to you, first of all, what I want to explain tonight is how the Great White Throne, now God uses the Great White Throne judgment, and I know I need to slow down. That's what everybody tells me, slow down, okay? I normally have people writing, slow down, and they show me a piece of paper like that, down in Edgewater. But I'm going to show you tonight how God uses the Great White Throne judgment to conclusively settle the score with all his enemies. And those enemies are Satan, the beast, the false prophet, the lost from all ages, death and hell. And we're going to consider a little bit of who those are and what they are. Also, what I need to explain to you tonight, or try to explain to you tonight, and give you my opinion and my understanding of what God's Word teaches, is to show you how the judgment of the Great White Throne is consistent with man's widely held view that he will be judged according to his works. There's many, many people that will be resurrected at that great white throne judgment, standing there and thinking that their works were going to give them eternal salvation. And that very works will judge them. Okay? I'm going to try and explain to you why God created the lake of fire, the eternal lake of fire. I also want to explain to you the nature of the suffering of this eternal torment. And we're going to consider that a little bit tonight too. And then the location of the lake of fire. That's the task that was given to me, and I'm going to try the best of my ability to speak to you about that. Now, people do not want to hear that there is a place of eternal torment, and that there's going to be a place where God's going to judge people and send people to for eternity. I spoke about that a month or two ago at an assembly, and I was challenging people to share the gospel with folk that they never believed the gospel, and how important it is for them to share it, because, you know, when people die, they're either going to go for eternity to heaven, or will go for eternity to hell. And after I was finished with this and telling them, and I didn't use it as a scare tactic, I use it as because it's the Word of God. And there's a gentleman in an assembly, and he started crying, sobbing, that I can say that a loving God can send people for eternity to hell. Because Christ died for all, he says. And so I investigated a little bit more about what do these folk believe who says there is no place of eternal torment. And you know what they have to do in order for them to teach, in order for them to show you and I that there is no place of eternal torment, there is no judgment of God unto man to spend eternally in a lake of fire forever and ever, what they have to do is to take these words that says forever and ever and change them so that they won't say forever and ever. So really I would like to say to you and submit to you tonight is whenever you see forever and ever, God is lying to you. So just scratch it out and write in there temporary. Because obviously, what is said is that I cannot trust the book that I have, and I have to change what God's preserved written word is saying. God's word means what it says and says what it means. And when I read forever and ever, I cannot change that and say it means the same if I said to Brian, man, you took forever to get me at the airport the other day. I mean, it would be silly to do something like that. Not that he's taking forever and ever. That's not silly. But I mean, to compare that with forever and ever. Then is the argument that has come to me, and I need to just clarify on this as we get into the subject, is that Paul never, ever mentioned the word hell in his epistles. And because Paul doesn't mention the word hell in his epistles, that means there is no place of eternal torment. There is no place of eternal hell. There's just no such place of a lake with burning with brimstone and fire forever. There is no place because Paul didn't mention that. Turn with me quickly in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 13 and the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you will. Acts 13 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is not really part of my, it's part of the message, but it's not part of the message, but it's by the way, and I need to, and I know I've got 55 minutes. When did I start exactly? Just now, all right. So I've got 55 minutes. I like you. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. Very important verse that we use as mid-Acts dispensationalist, and it's one of the verses that we use in correspondence with Acts 18, verse 6 and 28:28. In 1846 it says this, Paul and Barnabas, these are Jews that are opposing the message, and verse 46 says, and then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing he put it from you, and judge yourselves on what? Unworthy of temporal... No, it says... Unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So these folks, these men, man's attitude, the thing that David spoke about us earlier this evening, man's attitude is, you know what, God? You said that. We've seen it through all the ages, what you've done. Your word declares that it's preserved for us, but you know, I don't buy that. And you judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Now, what's the opposite of eternal life? Eternal death, right? So doesn't Paul believe in eternal hell? Which is an eternal death. But not a death that ceases. We're going to look at that just now. Turn with me, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. You see, I don't buy that Paul doesn't believe in it. There's material that Paul didn't have to go over, but there's material that Paul didn't really cover exclusively, and enough for me to believe that he believed and knew that there was a place of eternal torment. The fact that Christ died for all, I believe it. Amen? He died for every man. But he says to them that who believes. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to what? Life everlasting. So you want life everlasting, what do you need to do? Believe the gospel. Right? And what's the opposite of life everlasting? Exactly. Now, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you will. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Now, Paul, you don't believe in hell. You don't believe in judgment and like that sense of eternal. Why would you use the word in flaming fire? Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with what? Everlasting destruction. By the way, let me just get this right, guys. It is not everlasting destruction. It's everlasting destruction. You got that? Okay. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that are... Where am I? Yeah. And obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the what? Presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The absence of the glory of Christ, the absence of the glory of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be... It's out. But the destruction is how long? I submit my case. By deductive reason. Is that the way you should say it? I rule in my favor. There we go. Matter settled, okay? Paul did believe, because he mentions. That to me is enough to let me know that he believes there's a place of everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And that everlasting destruction is from the presence of the Lord. That means Christ is not going to be present there. He's going to be far from there. And we're going to look at some verses this evening regarding that. Is my sound still up? Okay. Right. Revelation chapter 20. Let's get on there. Now, how does God use the great white throne to conclusively settle the score with all his enemies? Now, I am not sure, personally, I'm not sure where this great white throne judgment is going to take place. I would imagine it's going to be on the earth somewhere, or I am not sure. I know where the judgment seat of Christ for the believers of the body of Christ is going to take place, but I'm not sure where this is going to take place. But I would imagine it's on the earth or in somewhere around here. But a great white throne. Now, first of all, we read, he says in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. Great speaks of what? Great. Of great, wonderful. White speaks of what? Purity, righteousness, holiness. Great white throne. And throne speaks of what? Authority and judgment. A great white throne. He sees.
And that's where his authority is going to be vested, and he's going to declare his judgment upon those. Who are those? Now let's look. He says, and I saw a great white throne. And by the way, this that's going to take place, this very final judgment, every soul of every dispensation that did not believe and was not saved will be at this judgment seat. Okay? There is a couple of people at this time that's not going to be there. Who will not be at this great white throne judgment? Well, we won't be there, obviously, but from the unsaved. Who was cast there before the 1,000 years? The beast and the false prophet. They're in there already, right? And who else is cast at the end of the 1,000 years into the eternal lake of fire? Satan, okay? He says, I saw a great white throne in him and sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Richard dealt with that. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there's the books, and then there's the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the what? Books. Now, what is contained in these books that they're going to open? It's not the book of life, but in these books. According to their what? Works. They are going to be judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Every man was judged according to their what? Works. You guys don't mind me taking off my jacket, right? If Brian can do it, then I can do it. Or Pastor Ross can do it, then I can do it. Yours didn't fall like that. Okay. They were judged according to their what? Works. Revelation 21 verse 8. While we're looking at that, before we look at the works, but at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 is a verse I'd like to go to. Verse 8 says, but the fearful... Now, I think every person that is an unbeliever, every person before this great white throne, is covered here. Because some of us, we're going to say, you know what, I am not an idolater, or maybe I'm not a warmonger. But every sin is covered in this list here. He says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers. You know, that's English being a second language. Sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. By the way, anybody here never told a lie? Wonderful. He's the only guy that have never told a lie. Go speak to him about it. Shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the what? Second death. So at this great white throne, God is going to settle his score with all his enemies. We see Satan is cast into the eternal lake of fire. The beast and the false prophet are already there before the 1,000 years. Now at the end of the 1,000 years after this, deceiving the nations, this great white throne judgment, before the final raising of the curtain, before the final new heaven and new earth, is the final judgment that takes place, and that judgment is there designed to destroy death and hell. Okay? It says, where am I? Verse 8 of chapter... And brimstone shall have their part... let's read verse 8 again. But the fearful and unbelievable and abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the what? Second death. Okay? That's where God's going to settle this. Now, go back to me to Revelation chapter 20. And an interesting fact that I see here is that verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And what else? Death and hell
delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their work. So who gave up? The sea, and then death, and what? Hell. Now, in my simple mind, I have to add a look at that, and it says, death and hell gave up the dead that were in it. What is this death and hell speaking of that gave it up? Because, and why do they have to give it up? Why is there a resurrection there? A second resurrection. I mean, it must be a second resurrection, part of the second resurrection, not part of the what? First resurrection. Just turn the passage back with me, and we're going to stop at the death and hell now, but I just want to do something with you. Turn with me back to chapter 20, verse 5. Let's go read verse 4 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had deceived his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ a what? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were what? Finished. This is the what? What is the first resurrection? Those that's resurrected to live with him 1,000 years. Right? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the what? First resurrection. On such the second death hath no what? Power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So these folks that is resurrected, that the dead, the sea gave up, the death and hell delivered up, the death which were in them, is part of, for me, that I understand, and in my opinion, and my understanding, is part of the second resurrection. And these guys are resurrected to stand judgment for their works. Now, if they're going to stand judgment for their works, how are you and I saved today? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of your? Is a gift of God, not of works. So the way that you and I get saved, and the way that we get eternal security, is through what? By believing the gospel. Okay? By grace through faith. Right? Works are not part of that. But there's people that think, you know what? Grace through faith is not going to save me. I'm going to rather try it my way and do my works to save me. And man's work. Is there any man that's work is righteous? Because what does the Bible say in Romans chapter 3, verse 9? There is none righteous, no, not one. What does Isaiah 64 say? We are filthy rags. I'm going to misquote the verse, but we are as unclean thing as all our righteousness are filthy rags. That's what man is. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of what? Righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us. Every man will stand on that great white, before that great white throne judgment, will stand there resurrected, and he will stand there having to stand judgment for his works. You and I will not stand judgment for our what? Works. We will be judged for our work, but that's another subject and another topic. And that took place, by the way, even before the 70th week of Daniel. Amen? And we saw how we're going to be judged in the heavenlies, and Jesus Christ is going to present us to the Father, and we'll take over that authorities in the heavenly places according to our work, that we will reign with Christ. That's the judgment seat of Christ. But we're standing here with a whole bunch of people that will be judged according to their works. In Romans chapter 2, verse 6 says, the Bible says, go with to me, Romans chapter 2, if you will, and verse 6. But after thy hardness and an impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. You got it? Romans chapter 2. Did I say Romans or Revelation? Did I say Romans 6? Did I say Romans 2:6 or Romans 6? You gotta better listen better, okay? I mean, you can't be saying I'm gonna Romans 6. Romans 2:6. Make me doubt myself here. Verse 5 says, "But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his" what? God's going to render to every man according to what? His deeds. And those people that will stand before that white throne judgment will stand there according to their what? Their works. And there's none righteous. And every man born into this world, born after the similitude of Adam, is born what? In sin. Go with me to Romans chapter 5 quickly. Verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and what by sin? Death by sin. And so death passed upon what? All men, for all have sinned." So every man born into this world is born in what? Sin. And born in sin is destined for what? Death. Eternal death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. From the presence and destruction, you know, from the presence of the Lord. Right? And these folks that stand there before that great white throne judgment, that is their that's their condition. Although Christ has died for them, they said, "You know what, I'm going to do it our own way." Even the nation of Israel, those believe, in time past, there was in Israel those that didn't believe and say, "God, we're going to do it our own way. We're not going to do it your way. We'll do it on your way." And Christ said to the Pharisees, "Depart from me." But the result of sin was what? Death. Now go with me back to Revelation chapter 20. It's going to get together, you know. I'm a little bit disjointed here at the moment, but we're going to get there. Revelation chapter 20 says, "And death and what? And hell delivered up the dead which in them." Right? What is passed upon all men because of sin? Death. What is one of the final enemies that needs to be destroyed? Death. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's go read about verse 54. Paul is speaking, he says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Now we understand where this fits in with, but this is not just Paul writing a mystery truth here, because he's quoting a verse from the book of Isaiah chapter 25, a part of a verse, and the verse says, "Death is swallowed up in" what? Go back with me to while you're there, keep your fingers there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and go back with me to Isaiah 25 and 8. Isaiah 25 and 8. Am I losing you guys? I know it's a difficult day, and then you know it's been a long day and everything else, and then you still have this crazy guy with a crazy accent, and you have to listen to him for another 55 minutes. But just bear with me, please. Isaiah 25 verse 8, did I say, eh? "He will swallow up death in" what? "Victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from their faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, and the Lord hath spoken it." Now tomorrow, I'm not sure if you're going to speak about the tears will be wiped away, but he's going to talk about that tomorrow. I'm not going to go in there, but he will swallow up death in what? Victory. What is passed upon all men? Death. And what needs to be reckoned with finally? Death. Because after the great white throne judgment, is there going to be any more death? Is there going to be any more sinners in this world? Is there anybody, people that's going to be judged according to their works anymore? No, because the great white throne judgment settles that issue with death. And he scores it, finish and klar. That means it's finished, okay? He settles it and destroys it, and death and hell. Go back with me to Revelation chapter 20. Did I finish those verses in 1 Corinthians 15? Yeah, my brain is running at 120 miles an hour here, and I'm trying to get through a bunch of material here. And death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, yeah, verse 55, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15. Before we go back to Revelation chapter 20. First Corinthians chapter 15. I'm sorry. I need to slow down. If I don't get finished, I don't get finished. I'll just take David's slot tomorrow morning. It's fine. And we'll go off to tomorrow afternoon, you know. It's no problem. We love the Lord, right? So then it's verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and he quotes it from Isaiah 25:8, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? Now, how does death pass upon all men? By what? Sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is going to be destroyed at that second, at that great white throne judgment. And that's why it needs to be destroyed. Okay? And that's why death gave it up. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20. Prophetically, we're speaking about here. We speak about when this great white throne judgment is going to take place. But you know what? I cannot help but feel, I'm just going to just get away a little bit there from what we're doing here. Although the great white throne judgment has got something to do with what's going to take place in the future, and you and I will not be there, right? Of course, we'll be in the heavenlies, okay? And we'll be fulfilling the purpose that God has for us there at that time. We will not, because we're saved by His grace. Okay, we were dead in our trespasses and sins at one time. And although it's got nothing to do with us, in a sense, the great white throne judgment that we're talking about here, yet I believe it affects each one of us. Because I have family members and I have friends that will one day stand before that. And I have people that I know that will one day stand before that great white throne judgment. And you have friends and I have friends that will one day end up there. Because they have not believed the gospel. And they will be judged according to their works. And so, though we rejoice in the fact that we will not be there, there are folks that we know that we're going to end up there. That's going to die in their sin. And we need to be aware of that. And I don't want to make you feel guilty that you have to go out and try and save all your friends. But the thing is, if the Word of God works in us effectually, what we will do is we will share the gospel. And we will not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says God will judge this world by His gospel. And you and I have the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can share with folks. And that will prevent them, if they believe that gospel, and if we're faithful to, and we take it to them and they believe it, they hear it, they believe it, and respond to it, they will not stand there. It's great to have the knowledge of all this stuff. The whole stuff, you know, like Richard was speaking this weekend about the stuff we're studying. It's the froth and bubbles. It's the great stuff. It's the gravy. It's the, you know, it's some nice things. But how does all this information that we're dealing with, finally raising the curtain, how does it affect us? There is a literal place called hell. There is eternal lake of fire
where every man who is going to be judged according to his work will end up in. And you and I have a message that God has provided through the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that can prevent men of standing there one day. How much does that mean to us? And I want to say to you tonight, you know, I don't want to distract from your message that He gave me to do here, but I want to challenge each one of you, and that's maybe what I should do at the end of this message, but let me do it while I'm here right now. If there's any one of you sitting here tonight and you've never come to understand that Christ died for your sins, you never came to understand that you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you know what? You're going to be eternally separated from the presence of Christ and from His glory and the power of His glory. That you will end up before that great white throne judgment one day if you don't believe the gospel. There is no second chance after death. And Christ died for every man. When He hanged on that cross, He died for death's stratum there. But He died for every one of you there as well. And He doesn't say, do this for me, bring me works of righteousness, and I will save you. No, He says to me, believe that My Son died for your, was made sin for you. You believe that. When you believe that, My Holy Spirit will take you and place you into Christ, and He will seal you unto the day of redemption. I give you the gift of eternal life. All you have to do is believe that. If you haven't believed that tonight, if you don't know for sure where you spend eternity, if you're scared tonight that you'll stand before that great white throne judgment one day, because this is, I cannot help but say it, this is not the figment of our imagination. God's Word means what it says and says what it means, and it says there's a place of eternal punishment and torment where their worm doth not die. We're going to look at some of that verses too, planning to get there. Do you know for sure where you spend eternity? Are we not going to ask you an altar call, and start ask the musician to play just as I am. Oh, come. We're not going to do anything like that. And we're not going to ask you to say a prayer specifically. All we're going to say to you is, if you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose the third day according to the Scriptures for your and my sin, if you believe that, and you make it your own, you know what? You pass from death to life. Amen? And I trust all of you have done that. Because if you have not, you will be right here. And your books will be opened, and your works will declare God's righteous judgment against you for rejecting His provision for you and every man of every dispensation. Why did God create the lake of fire? Why would a loving, gracious God create a lake of fire? Well, turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you will, chapter 25. And there's a description that was shared with us earlier today about the 70th week, and towards the end of that week of 70th week of Daniel. Verse 40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, or one of these least my brethren," which I believe the little flock, "ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting," what? Now again, the scripture uses there the word everlasting, what? Fire. Prepared for the what? So why did God create a lake of fire or a place called hell. He created for who? The devil and his angels. And I'm telling you, the devil is going to take as many people and would like to take as many people as what he'd like to go with him, because he don't want to be alone right there. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 8. There is no second chance after all this. Luke chapter 8. Interesting passage. And I don't know if I should go into it, but let's read it quickly. Verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Verse 27. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me what? Not. So this devil said, please, do not what? Torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, What? Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the what? What is he talking about, the deep? What is this, the deep? Right? It's hell. It's hell. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that they would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them, and they went and then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. So obviously the deep is not the deep lake. Okay? It's a different place, because they don't want to go there. If they have an opportunity, they go into this swine and they run into this lake. The place they don't want to end up is in where? In the deep, where Jesus Christ has prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I want you to go with me a couple of verses too. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude verse 6. 2 Peter 2, 4 and Jude 6. Got that? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to where? To hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto what? So there's a place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels, but these guys that did not keep, spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell and keep them there in chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So something I'm concluding, not that all devils are in this place. There's some of them that have freedom to reign or to run around, to and fro, it seems to me. But let's go back to Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the what? Great day. So where are they? They're in hell, in chains under darkness unto everlasting. Now, here's the thing about this thing about, and I don't, in my mind, have a clear picture of what this hell thing looks like, because I look at picture what they draw in the earth. They draw hell. But then there's,
there's a place, and they have all the names, Tartarus and Sheol and Gehenna, and then they have paradise, and they have hell then, and then they have the eternal lake of fire, and there's all these different compartments in the bottomless pit and the gulf, and there's all these places, and I don't have an overview to show you yet there, and I don't have anything prepared. I'm not 100% sure about all the details of that. I just know there's a place called hell, and it's a place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay? And I know there's a place in hell where the rich man looked over the great gulf to Abraham's bosom, and he was in torments, and that was before the white throne judgment. And he was released out of that to the great white throne judgment, and then cast into the eternal lake of fire. Now, hell is in the earth. That I know. It's maybe in the center part of the earth. And the more you get to the center part of the earth, the colder it gets or the hotter it gets? The hotter it gets. Okay? I know that. They don't want to go into that deep. But it's a physical place. Another thing about that place in hell where they're tormented, it's also a place. Do you think there's going to be light? I mean, it's hot there and it's brimstone and fire. But does the fire normally do it? Does it bring what? Light. But do you think there's light in this place when there's brimstone and fire? Because it doesn't tell me. Because if I look at verses like Matthew chapter 8, verse 12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer what? Darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then said the king and the servants, bind him. Matthew 22 verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer what? Darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into what? Outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We've read that verse in Isaiah 66, verse 24, where they walk onto the edge of this pit and looks right down into the earth, which is hell. And he said this. Go with me to Isaiah 66, verse 24. We've gone through a couple of times to that just over this last few days. But let's do that again. Isaiah 66, verse 24. And then after Isaiah 66, 24, I'd like you to turn with me to another passage in Mark chapter 9. But Isaiah 66, 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto what? Abhorring unto what? All flesh. What does it mean to be what does an abhorring mean? Contempt. Can't look at that even. Have you ever seen something really ugly and really bad when somebody got physically get maimed or something, and you just can't even look at that? Right? And that's what it's going to be like here. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Similar passage to Matthew 25. Verse 40 says, for he that is not against us is on our part. Verse 41, for whoever shall... Mark chapter 9, right? Verse 41, for whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, is better for him to be that a millstone be hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into what? Hell, into what? The fire that never shall be quenched. Now, interesting. Now, if somebody doesn't believe that there is a place of eternal hell, but the verse here says into the fire that what? Never shall be what? Quenched. Never. I mean, how long is never? Never. I'm never going to end, you say tonight, okay? Verse 44. Interesting. Now, we heard about this in Isaiah 66. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not what? That's in hell. Their worm dieth not. I've always, you know, this is in my mind, I've always said, where the worm never dies. And I'm like, the worm. But it's their worm. What happens to somebody when he starts decaying? They get what? Worms. But this worm, now if this worm, if this carcass is finished, and it's eaten everything that could be eaten, what happens to the worm eventually? He dies. But this says their worm, what? Will never die. Always going to have food, their worm. I don't know. You know, maybe you guys explain some more detail for me into that. The point that I want to make to you is that there's an eternal lake of fire. And the lost that's going to go there is going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And it will be tormented. And their worm doth not die. And they will be tormented day and night forever. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm saying to you. That's what the Scripture's saying. And there's going to be an outer darkness. For me, the way that I look at outer darkness and my understanding of outer darkness, when something is dark, there's an absence of what? Light. Right? Now, who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. Who's going to be light of Israel in the kingdom? Jesus Christ. Right? It's a verse that says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 9. Go with me, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. Let me ask you, did I lose most of you guys here tonight, or are you guys with me? Because I see some frowns and I see some, hey, keep it up, you know, and so it's difficult to judge it. And I do understand, it's a little bit out there. Isaiah 60, verse 19. The sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting what? Light, and thy God thy what? Glory. Paul says something that you'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So what is, whether it's in the heavenlies or whether it's on the earth with the nation of Israel, Christ will be there. Light. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? Light. So where Christ is, there's what? Light. Where Christ is not, is what? Darkness. And a gnashing of teeth and a wailing. An everlasting fire that never can be quenched, where their worm does not die. Doth not die. And His glory and His power will not work. Revelation chapter 21, if you will. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 23. And I think David will get into this tomorrow. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did what? Amen. You know, I read this and my neck stands up. Okay? Because I'm thinking of what God is doing here. And the people don't believe Him. God had the glory of God had lightened it. And the Lamb is the light, what? Thereof. Go with me, Revelation 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and what? Who's going to be the light?
Who's going to be your and my light in the heavenlies? Christ. Who's going to be a light in the earth? Christ. In the new heaven and the earth, who's going to be the light? Christ. Everything that God has done in time past and in ages to come is centered around His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately is going to shine forth His glory. And we have the privilege of being there for eternity. Somebody else? Hey, come on, guys. You know, you get charismaniac a little bit here. You know, you don't have to be shy to say amen. You know, come on, man. Come on. When you start speaking in tongues, we'll throw you with something. But, you know. But, you know, we need to get excited about what we had, okay? And with this excitement, but we need to be careful also as we look at this great white throne judgment and the folk that's going to be standing there and going to a place that God has actually prepared for the devil and his angels. And man sinned. And death passed upon all men. All have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But there is hope. And that hope was made available for every man in every dispensation in Christ Jesus, who paid for every man's sin and can escape that eternal great white throne judgment. When those people, those folks that have died today, if you die tonight and you have not, if you die tonight, let me tell you something, if you die tonight and you have not believed the gospel, you die in your sin. And when you die in your sin, when I die tonight, I don't believe in soul sleep, by the way. I just want to say that to you guys. If I die now, to be absent from the body for me is to be present with the Lord. Amen. It's to be present with the Lord. All right? But when you die outside of Christ and you die without the knowledge of knowing that you're saved for eternity and you die in your unbelief, to be absent from your body is to be in where? Hell. And Luke 16 tells us about the rich man and Lazarus. That is not a figment of imagination to try an allegory story. It is a real event. And he's asking, Abraham says, send him to dip his finger and wet my lips or my tongue because I'm in torments. God, tell him to warn my brothers. It's a literal physical place. And God is not unrighteous to send a man for eternity to be destroyed but to be tormented forever. Thanks. Because God has given every man the same opportunity. He didn't have to do that, but he did. There's a whole bunch of verses that we do have here. The great white throne judgment is where God is going to destroy death and hell. Send them into the eternal lake of fire. By the way, if you go to Revelation chapter 20 and just look at those verses there, what some folks have done is said verse 15, he says, verse 15 of that passage says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It doesn't say the eternal lake of fire, so they say it's just a temporal thing. But if you go back to verse 10, and the devil that believed them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? So this lake of fire, burning with lake of fire and brimstone, where they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever, is the place where every other soul is going to go to that is going to be judged according to their works, that the books will reveal, whose name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they will be cast into that same lake of fire. And how long will they be there? Forever and ever. And God's going to destroy it, and after He destroys it, there's going to be no more weeping, There will be no gnashing of teeth. There will be no darkness for those that does not go to that eternal lake of fire. But they will be ever, forever, forever and ever, for everlasting with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, plus every other saved soul of every dispensation. That is fantastic news. Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody that does not know that news? And if you know somebody that does not know that news, and you're too scared to share that with them, let me challenge you not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You with confidence, what will you want to? You want that person to be rather mad with you for temporal short term that you live on this earth? Or do you want to see that person for eternity in hellfire? I'd rather have somebody mad with me, spit me in the eye, kick me in the legs, than go to eternal lake of fire forever. God is just in what He's doing. God is righteous. It's the great white throne judgment. It's a just justice that's taking place there. A righteous judgment taking place. It's a holy judgment that's going to take place there. And it's going to be the final reckoning of death and hell. Amen? Father, we thank You that we know for sure tonight, that we can know for sure tonight, and many of us here know for sure tonight that we do have eternal life, and that life through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the wonderful and glorious prospect of living for eternity in heavens, and being in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His light, and reigning with Him in heavenly places. Father, we pray for those that do not know the gospel. Lord, we're not praying for open doors, but we pray that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of Christ and to share the gospel with them that do not know it. In Christ's name we pray this with thanksgiving. Amen.